Wonderful, wonderful. Floyd Kramer has nothing on our Tony. Can I get an amen? Boy, he can tickle those ivories. If you have your Bibles, turn with me now to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21. As I speak on this subject tonight, how can I praise the Lord? How can you? I'll use that term, I, you, me, us, we, interchangeably tonight. Good to see you in the house of the Lord. It's good to be with you. I want to thank our Lord Jesus and our sweet, sweet, generous pastor for sharing the pulpit and he's been entrusted and an opportunity to preach God's word. And for those of you who've been wanting to hear Brother Matt today, tonight, I'm praying for you extra, okay? I understand Matt hit it out of the park for our Lord today and the morning service. So glad to hear that great report. Matthew chapter 21. We'll begin in verse 12 and move on down. It's a familiar passage to us. We know this passage, and we'll be glad to take another look at it tonight. You pray for me, won't you? I've got a little bit of a cold. Louise and I have been passing it back and forward, and my gracious, we thought we had it licked, and maybe not. So, how can I praise the Lord? I want to remind you of a couple of things regarding the preaching of God's Word. You'll never hear a message that doesn't first preach to me. I'll tell you, I'm under such deep conviction right now about this message, I can't begin to tell you. Although, where's Jeffrey? When you sang, my sin not in part, but the whole has been nailed to the cross, I bear it no more, praise the Lord, O my soul. The devil's just been accusing me all day. I hit the ground running at work this morning. Was able to preach in the chapel service. I give him praise for that. My electronic leashes just chirped and chirped and chirped and chirped. You know what that's about, don't you, sister? I met myself at one point coming and going, you know. But what was really happening to me today is how the devil was just accusing me. Because we'll be talking about it here momentarily about the purity of our Lord and the holiness of our Lord. You all may know James MacDonald, Faith Bible Church in Chicago. Louise and I use a lot of that material with the pastor's blessing in our small group we have in our home. Pastor James MacDonald describes the holiness of God using an illustration of Ezekiel and John. John in Revelation in the Isle of Patmos and Ezekiel, both gazing on the throne room of heaven and cannot describe what they see. And Ezekiel uses the term, he appears like. He's like. He appears like. And he can't quite put his finger on it as he gazes at the beauty of the Lord Jesus. Because God is holy. God is separate. God isn't anything like you and I know. Not even a little bit. We had a lesson last night in our small group Bible study, and James MacDonald said, not even a little bit. And that has just stayed with me as I reviewed that lesson before the group came and as we looked at that lesson last night. Not even a little bit. In plain talk, you and I can't describe it because Ezekiel couldn't describe it, who lived hundreds of years from when John lived. They didn't know one another, and they're writing the same account, and they can't find words to do it. Why? Because there's no one like God. He is holy. Holy. And that's how the devil's been accusing me all day. I ain't there yet. Not even on my best day, Dave. Just not there yet. Dan, Cindy, just not there yet. The throne room of heaven. Our Lord Jesus is there right now praying for you, making intercession for you. Think about that. And we're going to talk about how to praise Him tonight. Amen? Amen. So let's look. We're in Matthew chapter 21, beginning at verse 12. I've got a study Bible with me tonight, and it has a little chapter heading here. Mine says, Jesus cleanses the temple. Does anybody have a study Bible with them? What's yours say? Yeah, okay. Matthew 21. Does anybody else have one? Okay. Okay. Yeah, of course you'd have a Schofield. Lord strike you dead, girl, if you didn't have a Schofield. Isn't that right? Oh. Now, you're Michelle's grandmother, aren't you? That's why I pray extra for Jeffrey. You know it. Just easy. All right, let's see what the Word says. Then Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple. And the Word of God says, overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And He said to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. Then the blind and the lame came to Him in the temple, and He, what? Healed them. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that He did, listen how Baptist they sound even back then. And the children crying out in the temple saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. They were indignant. The young'uns were praising the Lord, and the religious types got a bee in their bonnet. That's the translation. Sounds just like modern day America, doesn't it? That ain't no music I can live with. Verse 16, and said to him, do you hear what they are saying? And Jesus said to them, yes. Have you never read, out of the mouth of babes and nursing infants, you have perfected what? Praise. And may God bless unto us the reading of His Word. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we're thankful for an opportunity to gather this night. And we would pray, Lord, just for the next few minutes, you would help us cast our affections on things above, won't you? Lord, we'd ask that you would just help us not even think about the stuff outside, but instead just stay focused on you. Lord, I pray you'd use me now for the welfare of those who will listen to this message and for your glory. And I thank you for how it's already preached to me, Lord. And I thank you for the conviction of the Holy Spirit. But I thank you equally, Lord, if not more, that my sin has been nailed to that cross. Not in part, but in whole. Because you've loved me enough. Because you would go to the cross for me. My prayer this night also, Lord, is if there's anyone here that doesn't know you in a personal way and doesn't have that blessed assurance, won't you save souls tonight, Lord? Move in a mighty way. And if there's someone here today who knows you, Lord God, but's been walking at a guilty distance, I pray for them as well. Won't you nudge them closer to you? In Jesus' name, amen. How can I praise the Lord? The Apostle Paul, I think, said it best, listed in Ephesians 5 and 16. See then that you walk circumspectly. Now that's just a fancy word for a simple word that means carefully. See that you walk, I'll say it this way, carefully, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Yes, the Word of God says, make most of time. Have you ever noticed that the things that made us blush before many years back no longer make us blush anymore? Have you ever noticed in our society and in our culture, the things that the church used to take a stand against no longer stands against? And I'll make a little caveat there, save one church that I'm familiar with, North Fairfield Baptist. We will take stands at the direction of our pastor and the leading of our Lord. And our pastor, and it's good to affirm you publicly, it's easy to do so, Mark, but I really appreciate the fact that you, brother, pray to an audience of one. Not to other pastors in the church, not to the deacons, not to the Sunday school teachers, not to the trustees, not to the power block, but you play to an audience of one, and I want to give you praise for it, because this church takes stands. But by and large, there's silence in the churches of America today about the things that go on in our society and our culture. And I wonder why. Has the light gone out? Has the light been put under the bushel? Has salt lost its savor? Listen, you and I need to make most of the time because the days are evil. Have you ever really wondered, as one of those who are truly surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ, how you can praise the Lord and God's economy? Is there a difference that you can make? Is there a way, by the grace of God, you can make a difference in this world? Have you ever wondered that? Have you ever looked around and realized that with all the evil in the world, with so few dedicated and surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ, have you ever wondered if making a difference is beyond you? Well, you don't have to wonder that anymore. I can tell you for sure it's beyond you, but it's not beyond the Lord in you to make a difference. My friends, have you ever felt like the psalmist said, if the foundations are destroyed, what will the righteous do? I believe, folks, that any person living under, listen, the lordship of Jesus Christ, surrendered, I used to use the word committed a lot, but I'm using the word surrendered a lot. That's how the Lord is convicting me in my journey in the last 3 to 5 years. If I get committed to something, I can stop it. But if I get surrendered to the Lord, He'll never stop using me to His glory. And I give Him praise for it. But have you ever believed, I believe, any person under the lordship of Jesus Christ, bought by the shed blood that was sinless of our Lord, shed on Calvary's cross, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit of God, can make an eternal difference right where we are as we praise the Lord and serve Him in His economy? Tonight I want to show you 4 truths that we are living. 4 truths that if we are living them in our lives, and not just acknowledging them, but living them to the best of our ability, to the best of our ability, God will use us to make a difference, and God will use us to be able to praise Him. And that's what we want to do ultimately, don't we? We want to praise our Lord. Well, let's take a look. What's it say here in verse 12? Then Jesus went into the temple of God and drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. There's a best-selling book out called Killing Jesus, written by Bill O'Reilly. Maybe some of you are familiar with him from the Fox News Network, former CBS correspondent years ago, those of us old enough to remember that. Bill O'Reilly writes the book Killing Jesus, and Bill O'Reilly says it's just a book from the historical perspective. And just from a historical perspective, they killed Jesus because he had interrupted the money flow. Now, I don't know if he's right on that, and I don't know if he's wrong on that, but here's what I do know. Had he never overturned these money changers' tables, they're still going to kill Jesus. It was the Lord's plan that He would send His Son. God sent His Son. They call Him Jesus. Listen. I don't want to sound condemning of anybody. But it just amazes me when people talk about subjects they don't have any idea about. Isn't that right? It just blows my mind. Purity. Verse 12. And then in verse 13. Oh, by the way, there are two temples that the Lord is concerned about the most about purity. He wants our temple, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit, to be pure. And he wants the church temple to be pure. Purity. Why? He's holy. How do you describe holy? You can't. It's separate. Not of us. Not close to us. Close to us in our behavior. He's holy. He's pure. He's separate. He's different. Jesus. Then in verse 13 he says, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. So there's the order. First have to have purity, then you have to have prayer. Prayer without purity is wasted time and wasted effort. You ever thought about that? Hey, if you don't confess every sin known to you and unknown to you before you go to the throne room of grace, you're wasting some time. Hey, when you set aside that little sin and say, I'm just not going to deal with that anymore, the Word says you're regarding iniquity. I've got a track. I've told you about it before. It's got an apple in it with a little bite out of it. That was way printed before Apple computer and stuff, but it says, my favorite sin. I won't ask you what yours is, but you know you have one. I sure have one. If we confess our sin, God is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if we do sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Christ Jesus the righteous, and he is the propitiation, the satisfaction paid in full for our sin, and not our sin only, but for the sin of the whole world. That's why we got to confess sin before we pray. You got to get pure, then you got to pray. But when you do that, there's some things promised. Look at the next verse, verse 14. Then the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he what? He healed them. Power. So understand the order. Now, it always has to be in this order. First, purity. Then, prayer. But then, power. Power. Holy Spirit power. The Lord Jesus power. And then we can get to the praise. How do we praise the Lord? God's people praise the Lord when they pray for power with a pure heart. That's how you do it. Verse 15, but when the chief priest and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying out in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were indignant. And what's the Griggs translation for that? They had a bee in their bonnet. Friends, it always has to be in that order. First there's purity, and then there's prayer. And when there's purity and then there's prayer, there's going to be power. And then you'll have the power to praise the Lord the way you should praise the Lord. Realize this, friends, it must always be in that order, because purity followed by prayer in the people of God always results in power. God's power comes when God's people pray from a pure heart. And then we praise. We praise. Verse 15. Nothing really changes. We praise them, and the little kids praise them, and some of we seniors get all jacked out of shape. Well, we can get over it. You know, you get mad, you can get glad. Amen. Somebody say amen. That's all there is to it. You get mad, you get a little bee in your bonnet, you can get glad. You know? Well, let's look at purity. Jesus cleansed the temple, and there are two temples that Jesus wants to cleanse. Number one, a personal temple. Remember how it was written for us in 1 Corinthians 6 and 19? Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? You see, if we're going to make a difference for the Lord Jesus Christ, if we're going to praise Him in our life, we are going to have to be pure. And if we're going to be men and women that make a difference in the world where our Lord plants us, then God is going to have to make sure that we are pure. But there's another temple, and that's the temple of the church, His church. And Ephesians 2 and 19, I think, captures probably the best description in all of Scripture about a New Testament church. It's a great picture of the church. Ephesians 2 and 19 is your reference. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with saints, and listen, members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself, the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being joined together, grows into a holy temple, built together for habitation of God in the Spirit. How about that? Jesus Christ, friends, wants to cleanse His temple today, our personal temple and His church. He wants it pure and He wants it holy. And if we come before Jesus today with a broken and contrite heart, He will cleanse the temple. Do you want to see God's power and do you want to see it today? Well, I mean, do you really want to see His power? Then you'll have to go back to purity because if you're ever going to see God's power, the temple has got to be cleansed. You see, we're masters at making excuses for why we don't do things. But the reality of it is, the Word of God puts that right back on you and puts that right back on me. Isaiah 59 and 1 doesn't listen to excuses. Listen to what God's Word says in Isaiah 59 and 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither His ear heavy that it cannot hear. And then in verse 2, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins hid His face from you, that He will not hear. Now here's the truth of it, friends. God has not changed. And He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to salvation through Christ Jesus. And His hand isn't short and His ear isn't deaf. He can hear us. The problem is there's sin in the body of Christ. Sin in my life. Sin in your life. Sin in our lives that holds back the power of the living God. And then we grieve the Holy Spirit. And then, when the Holy Spirit is grieved inside of us, we quench the Holy Spirit. I've lived there before. Not proud of it. Got to own it. That's a terrible place to be. Hey, the most miserable person in the world is the one who's a believer in Jesus and out of His will, in disobedience and rebellion to Him. There's no one person more miserable. So here's the question for us tonight. Are you regarding some iniquity that lets the Lord not hear you? You can confess it tonight. You can be washed white as snow tonight. That's good news. You can leave the church house forgiven. You can leave the church house pure, cleansed, ready for the blessings of our Lord. See, if you and I get down and pray and have just one sin that we are regarding, the Word of God says we're regarding iniquity. You know how we kind of bargain with the Lord? Lord, I'll take care of that one later. Look how far you've brought me. Now that's a trap. Listen, our Lord has brought me so far I can't put it in words. But I just told you in my opening remarks, I'm not there yet. Gee, I want to live holy, Dwayne. Jackie, I do. I want to live holy. My sin doesn't let me. I've been confessing stuff and giving it to Jesus and trying not to take it back. Y'all ever take it back from our Lord? Dick, am I the only one who does that, Rich? Give it to Jesus, Susan, and take it back. Am I the only one who does that? Think about how nuts that is. He wants to bear our burden. The Word says He's our burden bearer. We confess it, we give it to Him, and we take it back? What up with that? What do we think that is? That's pride, isn't it? Because when we take it back, what we're really saying to Him is, we can handle it better than He. We are very thin ice when we say, I've got it from here, Lord. I can handle it. Hey, there's nothing I've ever had from here that I've handled right, apart from the Savior. You want to praise the Lord? Get a pure heart. Cleanse the temple, personal temple. Some of you need to do that tonight. And then you need to pray. Because when you do, He'll give you the power to praise Him. See how it works? Do you have a pure heart? Have you allowed Jesus with His precious blood to cleanse your temple? You know, I used to say, Lord, if I have a pure heart, I'm going to see You in heaven. Well, guess what? I'm going to see Him in heaven anyhow, because I'm a believer. I am bought by His blood. And sometimes if I'm on my faith journey and take two steps forward only to take three backwards sometimes, that doesn't change the fact that He has secured my spot in heaven because He loved me enough to die for my sin. But I want to live my life where I can see Him now. And sometimes we'll see Him now in a responsive partner. Sometimes we'll see Him now in wayward kids that come back into the fold after all. Sometimes we'll see Him now when all of the community in which we live and our witness gets changed for the Savior because they've seen a difference in Jesus. That Jesus made in our life. I want to see Him now. And the path is through purity and prayer and power so I can praise Him. I want to see Him in lives changed. I want to see Him in my own very life changed. And the pure heart are going to see God. And we can see Him right now. As much as lies within you, live at peace with all men and walk in holiness, the Word of God says, without which no man will see the Lord. And friends, if we are pure before a holy God, He will see God on Monday. We will see God on Monday, pardon me. We'll see Him on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I said a minute ago, I don't want to sound condemning. I am so grateful that there is now, therefore, no condemnation to he who is in Christ Jesus. Watch my hands for a second. Our Lord's not shaking a naughty finger at us, brothers, sisters. He's like this instead. See the difference? So I've said that to say this to you. I want to illustrate something. And I've lived long enough to hear the expression and know what it means now. Life is stranger than fiction. Someone in my faith journey, faithful to the Lord, a pastor, had mentored a few of us along the way. And he's only a year older than me, maybe two at the most. And so some of the guys he was mentoring and helping along were younger and are still. But I would talk to him like we were equals. Now, he didn't believe that he was equal. You know anybody like that? Do you ever have an over-under relationship with anybody? You know what I mean? That's what he and I had. Well, that's all right. He could never see somebody he had taught in Boyce Bible School hold him accountable. And I went to a satellite version of Boyce Bible School over in Greenview Baptist Church in Florence at the time. My understanding was there was one in Dayton back those years too. That's before I went on to UK and finished up and went on to Southern and got educated beyond my intelligence, got my master's. But this fellow would tell me about he would be in the basement of one of his church members' garages and play gin rummy for a penny a point. And so I asked him about that. I said, "You're gambling? Thad, I guarantee you I get more ministry done than most guys behind the pulpit because I just come alongside of them and get right down where they are." That's what he said. Years later, we would be at a state function that his church would host. Kentucky Baptist Convention had come up. And we're eating some Diet Krispy Kremes. Brother Marlowe, you know about those, don't you? And with every bite, he's saying how he's made money on this breakfast. So somebody finally asked him, "How? What are you talking about? There's three or four of us pastors around." He said, "Well, the state allowed me $3.25, blah, 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 but so-and-so in our church has the Krispy Kreme donut franchise for these stores up here, and we got them at $2.80 or $2.60. And so I piped up and I said, "Of course, you refunded that money to the state, didn't you?" He was mad as a hornet. Ken, he was ready to whoop me. "No, this is a moneymaker for us, boys. Looking out for his church." Years later, now almost a decade ago, he would strike a plea bargain in a federal court. They had him on 9 charges. He admitted to 3. Found guilty and went to prison, federal prison. And the report came back that he was taking some joy in the fact that he was clever enough to cook cheeseburgers on an iron in prison. Now listen, let's don't get stuck on the illustration, but let's get stuck on what the illustration teaches. We're not to come alongside the world and see how much we can be like the world. We're to be salt and light in the world. We're in the world, but we don't need to be of the world. And we don't have to see how close we can get to the edge before we fall over. We need to see how much we can stay back from the edge and give a safe path for all that we influence along the way. You want to praise the Lord? You want to make a difference where the Lord has planted you? Get pure, start praying, then God's power comes, and then you can praise Him. But it takes just that, in just that order. And I'm afraid of the church in modern day in our society and culture. The question needs to come, not how close can I get to the world, but not how close can I get to the flesh, not how close can I get to the devil and still be all right in the sight of God. It should be how far I can get from the world, how far I can get from the flesh, how far I can get from the devil and be all right in the sight of the Lord. What's your heart's cry? Well, second point, prayer. We just dealt with purity. Prayer. Verse 13. Well, you know, if you're a singer, you want to make this a whole house of singing. If You're a preacher, you want to make this a house of preaching. But the word says make it a house of prayer. And above everything else, Jesus Christ was a man of prayer. He set the example for us, and you and I need to follow his example. Pardon me. Why did Jesus say his house should be a house of prayer? Well, there are four things in the life of Jesus that we need to be aware of. You know, in Mark chapter 1, beginning in verse 35, it captures the Lord Jesus at the beginning of his earthly ministry. And the Word of God says, "Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed." In other words, a priority in his life, we see Jesus praying to the Lord at the beginning of his ministry. But in the middle of ministry, about a year and a half into his earthly ministry, when he fed the 5,000, you remember that story? It's recorded for us in Matthew 14 and 23. The Word of God says, "And when he had sent the multitudes," listen, "away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray." So here we see the Lord Jesus alone with God in the middle of the day until the sun goes down. Jesus is praying. And then in Matthew chapter 26, verse 39, it records an occasion at the end of our Lord's earthly ministry, just before his betrayal. He went a little further, the Word of God says, fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but you will." Ask yourself a question. What kind of ministry does Jesus have going right now? He's got a prayer ministry going. He's in the throne room of heaven praying for you and for me. So at the beginning of his life, in the middle of his life, toward the end of his life, and now while he's back in glory in the throne room of heaven, our Lord is praying. The one who is pure prays. Is it any wonder he could do the miracles that was recorded that he's done? He had the Lord's power from a pure heart praying. Nothing our Lord Jesus ever did came apart from praying to the Lord God the Father. Hey, do you get the idea that the Lord would work mightily and do miracles in our life and make a difference where we are? Do you get the idea that we would learn how to praise him when we follow the pattern of our Lord Jesus himself? Are you with me on this? Purity. Jesus had a pure heart, but he prayed. He prayed. Now, there are some sections in our home that's off limits. You pray when you get up and get going. Now, I get up and get going later than Louise, and I always have. I can get up early. The alarm went off at 5 this morning. I got up. I was at the hospital at 7. But there's no going into my TV room in the early morning. That's my wife's prayer closet. Later in the day, there's sometimes she can't come in the master bedroom or downstairs in my study because that's mine. Do you have one? If we took a little poll tonight and asked, do you pray 5 minutes a day? Now, listen, I'm not talking about praying while you're driving into work. Now, I do that, and if you've ever seen my driving, you better be praying when you see me on the road. I'm not as bad as Steve or Sue Smith, but I'm almost that bad. There's nothing wrong with praying to the Lord on the drive-in, but that's not what I'm talking about. Our Lord up on the hillside after he sent the multitudes away was not multitasking. Think about that. If Jesus Christ was above everything a person of prayer, then why does prayer have such a small place in our lives? I believe Jesus meant it when he said, "My house should be a house of prayer." And the question is, do we need to repent and pray? How much time do we spend praying? Well, it begins with a pure heart. He wants to cleanse the temple, your personal body, our church, any church. Then it begins, then right after that, it becomes prayer. And then we get power, verse 14. See, the first you get a pure heart before a holy God, and second, you immerse yourself in prayer, and you can't stop the power of God. Are we going to die before we see revival in our day? Look at the screen. How can I praise the Lord? First, live pure. Repent and be separate from the world. You know, I encouraged that pastor friend of mine to repent. But that over-under relationship, it just wouldn't work. You know what I mean? If I saw him tonight, I'd hug his neck. I'd thank him for how the Lord used him in my life. He really does love Jesus. I'm not judging him. But you got to be separate from the world. Second thing is, you immerse your life in prayer. I hope everybody got one of those handouts that, do you have it right there in your lap, I hope? We may not have had enough, so share it, won't you? But the third thing is, you receive God's power. And then the fourth thing is, you praise the Lord. We can be pure, and we will have something to praise the Lord about when we get pure. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Now that's worth praising him about. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul. That's something to praise him about. Let's pray. As our musicians make their way to the platform, we're praying now. Our Father and our God, we're thankful so much for your word. We are grateful, Lord, that you have desired that we live pure and that we become people of prayer, just so that we can have the power of God in our life, so that we can praise you the way you're worthy of it and deserving so. We thank you for Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, in whose name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Now here's where